You've hit play on the Screen Companion, scientifically formulated to provide the best film and TV recommendations.
We're doing Soul Man from 1986 and PCU from 1994, two films that were politically incorrect in their day, and probably more so now. In Soul Man, L.A. rich kid Mark Watson gets accepted to Harvard, but the celebration ends quickly when his father cancels plans to pay the tuition. Unable to get a loan, Mark discovers a scholarship that could be the answer to his financial problems. Except for one very big problem. Mark is white, and the scholarship only accepts black applicants. Disguised by experimental suntanning pills, he gets the scholarship, but then he has to deal with the societal, moral, and hilarious repercussions of donning blackface. Tien, this being your first watch, what were you feeling when the end credits rolled?
Actually, I was a little bit underwhelmed. I was expecting a lot more, because I think back in the day, it was a pretty popular movie. I don't remember watching it back then. It wasn't as comedic as I thought it would be, so I was a little disappointed.
1986, were you even alive?
Well, I was born in 79, so I guess I was about 7 years old.
Funny enough, because Soul Man played all the time on Comedy Central in its heyday, I think I was maybe a couple years older, maybe 9, 10, when I saw Soul Man. And I loved it, but I didn't know why I liked it, and I obviously didn't get the politics of it.
Let me press back on you on that right now. It's pretty sophisticated humor. You found it funny when you're younger? I don't get it.
It's got a lot of different types of humor in it. The one-liners that maybe smarter people are going to get, but it's got physical humor too. I mean, Leslie Nielsen's in this movie, and his performance, he plays such a good racist jackass. Even a right. Kid can find that funny.
Right. The embedded racism that he does, right? It almost seems like it's a reaction as opposed to like a persona.
By the mid-80s, Leslie Nielsen had something of a career resurgence. He had been in Airplane. He wasn't known as being a bad guy, but in this movie, I think he's one of the worst people.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there aren't too many blatantly racist characters.
Do you feel that his moves were blatantly racist? I thought they were just covert racism. You know, like protecting his wife a little bit when the black dude was in the room, stuff like that. But as far as like the dialogue, I don't remember him really saying anything that was super racist. But correct me if I'm wrong.
In that dream sequence, when we see everybody's POV at the dinner table, so Leslie Nielsen,
right.
You remember that?
But that was a dream sequence. That was the character's interpretation of his actions, wasn't it? Because that wasn't his dream. It wasn't Leslie Nielsen's dream. It was the who's the actor again?
See Thomas Howell, the main guy.
Yeah, was he in anything else, or is he just like a one-hit wonder? I didn't even recognize that dude.
Oh, that dude was in a lot of stuff. I think he got a start in The Outsiders. He's been in The Hitcher, that great thriller movie with Rutger Hauer. I'm not saying he was ever a superstar, but he had his moment for like a solid decade.
Yeah. And you know, one of the questions I was asking myself while I was watching this movie, right? Like, I remember his facial expressions were the same when he's blackface and whiteface. But then it looks like so much more sinister when he had blackface on. Was that something racist of me to say?
I
mean,
I think that was just you.
No, go back and watch it. Like, his little smile. He looked like very smirky, right, when he had a white face on. But when he has a black face on, he looks sinister. And I think it's the same goddamn smile. It's just different shaped skin.
It also looks unnaturally white, his smile.
Are you talking about when he had the black face on or the white face on?
Well, it was more pronounced when he had the black face on.
We gotta stop this right now. You're gonna get canceled, dude.
I don't want to. This might be one of my controversial episodes. But going back to that dinner scene, so Leslie Nielsen's the dad, his weird political science daughter, she's dating Mark in his black persona, and I would argue that because we see different interpretations of Mark at the dinner table, I think it's from each of the family members' perspectives. So the mother sees Mark, and he looks like this wild jungle guy that wants to rape her.
Right.
And then the son, the little boy at the table, he's into Little Richard, so he sees Mark as this Prince Little Richard guy playing guitar at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And then Leslie Nielsen's the one that sees Mark as a pimp. A 70s pimp.
Right.
Raspberry tart, Mark?
Oh, no thank you. I really couldn't eat another bite.
Daddy, did I tell you Mark's going to Harvard Law School on scholarship?
Yes, you did.
Go get my heroin and my hypodermic needle, bitch. Give me some more watermelon while you're at it.
Yes, dear.
White fat ass slut. What you looking at?
Just stereotyping them, right? Just different stereotypes of black people at that time.
If you can convince me another reason why, besides the guy is dating his daughter, why Leslie Nielsen would hate him so much.
Maybe because he's a rich asshole, protective of the daughter. She was also a first-year law student, right? Might also have like a socioeconomic thing, because everybody knew he was there on that scholarship. So maybe the father thought he wasn't good enough for the daughter, came from a poor family or whatnot. I don't know, I'm just throwing stuff out there.
When you say you expected it to be edgier, so it was a letdown that it wasn't as edgy as you thought?
I kind of saw this as like the conservative approach to humor, you know? A lot of dry humor and one-liners and throwing stereotypical stuff at you. I guess it was rare back then in movies, right? I don't know, I didn't watch a lot of movies in the 80s. But I would think that would be like very edgy, especially for a big screen.
I don't know if the humor, like the joke structure, was that unique for the time period. I think it's mainly the subject matter, because this movie got protests when it came out. Spike Lee famously hated it. So that's how it really stands out from the pack. I can't think of another movie from the 80s onward that tackled the same subject matter, specifically a white guy pretending to be black, except for maybe Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder, but he wasn't the main character in that movie.
Right. Okay, so 1986, is that when like more opportunities came for black people in terms of getting financial aid and stuff like that? One of the arguments the dude had was that he had no other scholarships that he would qualify for. He was from a pretty well-off family, and he just got cut off for law school. He applied for the black scholarship because he didn't qualify for any other scholarship, even though he had good grades and accepted to the law school.
He did at least a few years in California, where the character's from, and then
right.
He got accepted to Harvard.
Harvard Law.
And back then, affirmative action was in the news, and the director, he doesn't understand how much hate the movie got, because he feels the movie ultimately has a pro-affirmative action message, because at the end of the day, Mark feels bad about taking a black person's scholarship.
Yeah, but that's after the fact, right? Because he was all for it in the beginning, even though he knew it was wrong.
He doesn't really come off as a guy at the beginning that considers the ramifications, just so entitled and spoiled.
Exactly. So I don't know what the big deal is. They're just pointing out that, hey, white people are entitled. Black people are working like double or even 300% harder, and it's difficult for them. So I think it would be like pro-black.
I don't see why Spike Lee hated it so much. What was your favorite scene or performance?
What really stood out was that part when he go to the cafeteria? He bumps into that girl, the other black girl that's in the class, and her son was sitting at the table. I thought that was odd. Super odd, man. Come on, you're going to bring your kid to work and have him sit at the table and then rush him away when somebody wants to sit down? Like, that was kind of weird. I think that was the fourth scene.
Babysitters are hard to come by.
All right. And then any black just sit next to your son, you know, without you knowing, and then, you know, you come by like minutes later. Seems like that parenting to me, bro.
The character Sarah. Once Sarah saw Mark sitting next to her little boy, she was ready to get out of there. I don't know if because she was embarrassed that Mark knew she worked at the cafeteria, or if she was so leery of him she wanted to get her kid away from him.
Yeah.
I think James Earl Jones as Professor Banks.
Can you cite for us the precedent for that decision?
It was the 1972 case of Oklahoma versus Powell.
Very authoritatively stated, Mr. Wazanski, and very wrong. Mr. Watson, can you name the precedent for us?
Yes, sir. The precedent, sir, is Ronald Reagan, sir.
Mr. Watson, I am not a humorless man. But if you're going to take up my class time making jokes, please see to it that they are funny. Miss Walker?
Rhode Island versus Calitano.
What year, Miss Walker?
1969, sir.
Anyone else here agree with Miss Walker's citation? That's unfortunate. It happens to be correct.
Weren't you happy to see James Earl Jones? He really added some gravitas.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he was that strong black role model type of guy. After he got beat up, he tried to go to class, and he was late. And even then, James Earl Jones, he was just like, God, it's my classroom. Told you never be late. Just an authority figure. Something that I really believed like black people needed at that time. But I'm not black. I don't really know. I'm just talking out my ass.
Well, and I like that, except for some of the purposefully one-dimensional characters, you got Mark's friend, who is very amiable, middle of the road.
Right.
And then Professor Banks, yes, he's an older black guy, but I like that he doesn't take it easy on Mark just because, well, he thinks he's black. There's no us versus them among the key characters that we like to watch in this movie. But without him, Radon Chong as Sarah, she would have had to carry all the grounded dramatic moments. Jones keeps it from turning into a complete farce, and I think that lends the movie more credibility. If you can get him in your movie, it takes away some of that argument that it's intentionally racist.
Right. Was he big at that time, in 86?
He had already done Vader.
Yeah, but that's just a voiceover, isn't it? No one really knew it was him, and I didn't know it was him until like I saw one of the memes.
Well, earlier in the decade, he was Tulsa Doom in Conan.
I missed out on a lot of the movies when I was younger because we didn't have cable. And I just had Sesame Street. That's all I had, bro.
Did you rediscover that stuff on VHS in the 90s?
Back then when there was Blockbuster and Music Plus, yeah, we used to get VHS. That was a treat. Always rewind.
So besides the lack of edginess, do you have another big criticism for the movie?
I wish they would have developed that female character a little bit more, because you really don't know her background. And I would love it if they were to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, a black dude knocked her up, left her, and now she's like standing on her own. Just like a one-liner, summarize her position. All we know is that like, she started off with good grades, and then she got too busy. She had to work, had to take care of the kids. Grades dropped. I don't even remember if her grades picked back up. You know, like, they just like, kind of left her there.
Oh, no, it does. By the end of the movie, by this point, Mark is revealed to be white.
And he has to do the apology tour and work out how he's going to pay back the scholarship money he took.
What happened to the girl? Did she pass the class?
Yeah. It's in that scene where they've switched roles because now she has the scholarship. She doesn't have to work at the cafeteria, and he's there. And she gets the mail, and it says she got an A in Professor Banks' class.
Oh, shoot. I totally missed that.
That's schmaltzy by then. Maybe that's why you weren't paying attention.
Probably. Like, towards the end, I was just like, oh, my God, this thing has to end already. It's like, oh.
It's not that long of a movie.
No, it's not that long. I guess because the subject matter is just so taboo. It wasn't the first time, like, of me hearing about situations like this, you know? Maybe if I saw it back then, I would have a different perspective, but I'm looking at it now from all this knowledge that, you know, I've gained, and the other movies that I watched, it's not a new subject for me, so I wasn't that intrigued.
That's true, yeah. If I had watched this for the first time now, because of all the stuff in the news, some of it you can see in day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
All the PC stuff's out there. Maybe I wouldn't want to watch a movie like this because it would just remind me too much about present day.
Yeah. Remind myself, hey, you know, this movie is like done 30 years ago, whatever it is.
Yeah. My biggest criticism would be I really liked Mark's transformation from the rich kid to a humble, socially aware guy.
Yeah.
Except, did you notice that the thing that makes him realize he shouldn't be doing blackface is finding out that his black love interest would have gotten the scholarship had he not taken it?
Right.
That's a very self-involved reason to suddenly say, maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
You remember his friend actually called him out. He knew it was wrong, but then he decided to support Mark because he was like college frat boy party mode. Didn't care what happened to anyone.
I totally see where the friend character, Gordon, where he's coming from when Mark confronts him about it. How could you let me do this? Man, you know, I'm your bro. If you want to do something stupid, I'm just going to support you.
I think the same thing happened in PCU.
The Screen Companion is available on multiple platforms, including Podbean, Amazon Music Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, and Rumble. Tell us your review, vote for what we should cover next, or let certain guests know they're your favorite via thescreencompanion@gmail.com or by posting on the Screen Companion group on Facebook. Thanks to everyone in the States and abroad for listening. Further support the host by purchasing his novel, Traversal, The Weight of Worlds, available in both digital and print formats on Amazon.com.
Yeah, the second flick we watched was PCU, where student Tom Lawrence visits Portchester University to see if he wants to go there in the fall. His student tour guide, Dross, leader of the dormitory known as the Pit, reveals a 90s college atmosphere rife with boycotts and protests, where every student faction is at each other's throats most days, save for the members of the Pit. Unfortunately, they get hit with a damage bill by the president of the school and must raise $7,000 or lose their house. That's when they get the bright idea to throw a party, but will they be able to make the student body forget its differences long enough to be in the same room? So, Ken, do you think this movie has a main character?
The pre-freshman?
Yeah, Tom, but he's not in it that much.
It revolves around him. It's trying to desensitize the viewers to college life or to PC life.
That's true. He is our surrogate into the world of the movie. He's as flabbergasted about it as maybe we are.
Maybe the main character would be the college itself, just the atmosphere of college life and all it entails. Because they touch on everything, right? All the activist groups, we talk about administration, the preppy kids, you know, pretty much every aspect of college life is in this movie.
Here's the deal. You got to get all this 50s cornball shit out of your head. It's a whole new ball game on campus these days, and they call it PC.
PC?
politically correct. And it's not just politics, it's everything. It's what you eat, it's what you wear, and it's what you say. And if you don't watch yourself, you can get in a buttload of trouble. For instance, see these girls?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Those are women. You call them girls and they'll pop your figs.
Save the whale.
Gays in the military now.
Free Nelson Mandela.
They freed him already.
How much of that felt real to you since I guess you went to college a few years after this movie came out?
I felt that it was so exaggerated. I started college in like 97, 98, and I didn't see any of that stuff. I didn't see any protests. I didn't see crazy lesbians out there trying to push politically correct issues. I see more of that now in the news, but going to college, and I went to other colleges for parties and stuff, I've never seen any of that. I found it a little far-fetched.
Then we're simpatico because at the time, again, this is another movie where it played a lot on Comedy Central. I was 8 or 9, I think, the first time I saw it. I remember back then thinking, well, this is so silly. Obviously, this isn't the way it really is. So it's nice to hear that when you were going to college in the 90s, it wasn't anywhere close to being this bad with politics on campus. By the time I went to college, 2007, I do remember there were some politically active students in my dorm, but they didn't do activism on campus. It would be going to rallies out in San Francisco.
But
we weren't at each other's throats as much as it's portrayed in this movie. However, it did seem like we were divided somewhat by our politics. I think my group, we were the mishmash of viewpoints, perspectives. Nobody in my group was trying to make a political point, and then we would see other groups hanging out, and we'd go, oh, God, I don't want to hang out with those kids.
Yeah. So you're like the guys at the pit. Everyone in the pit were just normal people. And they were smart enough to think for themselves, and they're not confined to being part of a group besides being in the pit.
They were apolitical mischief makers.
Would you say apolitical when they go against a political party? Because they threw raw meat at those people protesting.
They were protesting the protesting.
Right.
Like, I don't think they specifically had a problem with vegans.
They just like meat.
Yeah. Does the overall tone of the movie work for you?
As a comedy, it does. I found it more funny than Soul Man. But that's because I guess that's the type of comedy I like to watch, especially when I'm watching a movie, because it's so far out there that it's obvious that it's comedy. With Soul Man, you really got to think about it. Like, hey, what? Like, can I laugh at this right now or not? Because, you know, because some things I'm like, I'm finding myself looking over my shoulder to see who's around.
Soul Man definitely delivers its laughs at a slower pace, whereas PCU, it's like nonstop. The movie takes place over, I think, 48 hours, and the jokes are a mile a minute. There's like always some little detail every time I watch it, some new thing I catch. What favorite scene or performance do you have in PCU?
Honestly, nothing really sticks out, man. I'll tell you, the cheesiest thing is that little love story they have like brewing in the background between that freshman girl and the pre-fresh kid. I thought that was a little unnecessary, but I guess that's part of college, right? Fall in love, do stupid shit. I don't know. Because he came full circle. First thing he loved about the college was a girl, and at the end, they connected.
But it's people's pheromones and that age. He's hot to trot.
Yeah. And plus, like, he's, like, right out of high school. And, you know, they don't really get into his background. But is he a preppy kid? Because, you know, with Blazer and all that, and then that Republican party that was on campus.
Group?
Yeah. What's his name?
David Spade.
David Spade, yeah. That's classic Spade. So you can't help but laugh.
Yeah, I think that is the implication, because of the way Tom's dressed. He's got the tie, the blazer. He gets mistaken for, like, a young Republican. And maybe he is, but I think the point is that he's not super political about it, so he can hang out with the weirdos in the pit.
They're making him show this pre-freshman around or something like that. And I don't understand the whole undertone to that. Like, why would he be responsible showing this kid around if there's no fraternities on campus?
Oh, because that's a program you're supposed to volunteer for, and the black dude in the pit, he passes them in the hallway because Dross is surprised that this kid is showing up at his door, and it's because the black dude signed him up for it as a prank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I totally missed that.
Well, I'm going to say my favorite scene, I hope you'll remember this one. It's the Frisbee match between the potheads and the feminists. Great soundtrack, silly characters, and when the potheads are down and need help, their secret weapon is what? Yeah. Do you remember?
That was a dog.
Yeah, man, the frisbee fetching dog.
That dog got air, man. He caught that frisbee like nothing.
It's a perfect camera move. The camera's tracking along the bench, and you see these potheads, and then it stops. There's a space on the bench, and then it pans down, and it shows the dog.
They were playing against, were they the lesbians, or they were the activists, right? The other team?
Yeah, well, in the movie, they're called womenists.
I'm glad you brought that scene up, because I thought it was funny that when the dog was the all-star, the women didn't get mad. Because nobody gets mad at dogs, man. Dude, dogs do whatever they want.
Well, you that, know? And I think they were impressed, because the dog outplayed them.
Yeah. Normally, wouldn't that be another, like, point of contention? They should be off his top. You know, like, you brought in a ringer. That's a professional. Professional catcher. Frisbee catcher. Can't use him. I found it funny because they didn't say anything about the dog. They didn't say it was cheating or anything like that. I thought it was cheating.
What was your biggest criticism for this movie?
I think some of the scenes were just too far-fetched, especially the them chasing them around the campus. Like, basically, he had, like, every organizational student body group chasing them around because he offended them in some way. You know, you have, like, the nerds because, like, they were trying to finish up their term paper, and, like, he destroyed that whole computer lab. And then got the feminists, and, you know, I was like, okay, this is kind of impossible. But he uses that at the end to get the girl, right, because the girl needed people to go to the party. They found a different way to have him deliver people to the party. I think it would be better. Something more believable than all these people chasing him around for hours and finally catch up to him, and then they all party. Like, okay.
It's convenient, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And he whistles at him, hey, chase me!
Yeah, in that scene, so the new kid, Tom, he's pissed off everybody while he's visiting, and this is hours later. It's nighttime. He's at the bus stop. He's going to go home, call it quits, meets up with the love interest, and she tells him that they need people to go to a party. And Tom says, oh, I know what to do. And it kind of surprised me. This is nighttime. This is hours later, and they're walking around with flashlights looking for Tom still, you know?
Yeah. Like, they're going to lynch him or something, dude. I was like, where's the tiki?
Yeah,
person?
A little far-fetched.
Yeah, I was like,
playing off of something you mentioned with the light love subplot, I get what you mean. It feels a little out of place. But then again, if you take that out of the movie, if I could change one little thing, I think there's a void of any kind of drama. None of those characters in the pit really seem to care about anything. And Dross makes some speeches to rally the troops, but they always feel like he's laying it on thick. It might help if he had more of an emotional tie to the pit, so saving the place would have more weight. Why is he doing it? Why does he care so much?
Well, I think, like, his age play a big role in that, because I think they mentioned somewhere in there that he was on his sixth year, something like that. And actually, after watching the movie, I was thinking, hey, you know what? Like I mentioned before, like the people in the pit, they're just kind of regular people, and they don't realize what is really going on campus until an older person that comes from that same perspective sees it. And this is after him being at the college for like 6 years, he sees what's going on, as opposed to someone that's young and they're like in the middle of it. And even though they're smart, they really don't see the bigger picture. I think that's why he corralled everybody at the end to save the pit, because he knew that giving that away would just mean that the, what do we want to call them, like the Republicans or Preppy Boys would win?
Secret society known as Balls and Shaft.
Yeah, Balls and Shaft. I know, that was so dumb. Is that supposed to be like a Skull and Bones type of thing? Or?
I've never been in a secret society.
Sure, that's what they all say. That's like Fight Club. You got that one right. Please tell me that.
Yeah.
One movie joke for you.
Let's move on to my favorite segment, which is TLDL. Too long, didn't listen. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Just try to give me short, sweet answers. Which movie would you watch with your friends?
PCU.
Which movie was funnier?
PCU.
Which movie do you think will offend people more in 2024?
PCU.
Better protagonist, Mark Watson or Dross?
Dross.
Which movie do you think is smarter?
Soul Man, definitely.
Okay, about time. Soul Man gets a point on the board. Which movie has better replay value?
Soul Man.
Based on the supporting characters, which school would you rather go to, Harvard Law or Portchester?
Harvard Law, man.
They're both New England locations.
One's a law school, and the other one is an undergrad.
True, but I thought you were West Coast through and through.
No, man.
Final question, maybe the most important question. Do you think either movie would have benefited from boobs?
When you say boobs, naked, bare. PCU probably wouldn't, because it has so much comedy in there already, and if you're going to throw boobies in there, it takes away from the comedy. In Soul Man, if there was like a sex scene where you show some boobs, I think that would make it a little bit better.
The girl that was going after Mark just because he was black.
Oh, yeah.
Later in the movie when she's trying to get Mark back.
Mm-hmm. She should have been butt naked when she went out on the fire escape.
Oh, and then that would have been even more reason for Leslie Nielsen to see that and be pissed and then toss the guys out of their apartment.
Right.
See, now I like it when not only we can have boobs, but that we can seamlessly put it into the story. We did it.
Yeah. It has to be tasteful, right? Like, you can't just throw boobies out there. It's kind of like cherry dust. Sprinkle it. Yeah. Really, dude?
No, I like that. I like that. Fairy dust. I think that's what I'll call it from now on. Any final words you have for either of these movies? What did you think of the topic of politically incorrect movies in general?
I don't think any movie is going to touch that nowadays, especially in the climate that we have. As far as PCU, my biggest takeaway from that is start imitating life. It's almost kind of like foreshadowing, too. Like I said, when I went to college, I didn't see this stuff. But now looking at the news, there's a protest every other day. And there's violence on campus and all this stuff, so I don't know, man. It's weird. It's weird how it plays out in real life after being a movie for, 20 years. Now we see that in real life, on real campuses. It's an eerie thought of what could happen next.
I wish they had more movies like that now. Whether you like the movie or hate the movies that we watched, at least it'll get
a conversation going. Maybe it'll challenge you, and maybe at the end of the day, you'll hold on to what your perspective is. At least check in with yourself through these movies, these types of movies, instead of just having some echo chamber where you just get to always think what you want to think and nobody challenges you.
Right. But it seems like nowadays a lot of the Hot Topic movies, they get protested or sometimes they get canceled. It seems like the mob always wins. And you really have to be like an independent filmmaker to get a really good point across because you don't want anybody censoring you.
Yeah, it's a weird time for the film industry. So maybe it'll go back to a day where it's more smaller films and they'll be willing to take more chances on these subject matters.